Hello, and welcome to Mount Podcast, the official podcast of Everything Mount Prospect. I'm your host, Howard Kleinstein, the Director of Digital Communications for the Village of Mount Prospect. Mount Podcast brings intriguing interviews with the movers and shakers in the 56. This podcast will give you, the listener, inside information about the people who make Mount Prospect a place where friendliness is a way of life. Today on our podcast, we have Trustee Colleen Sacatelli, the current senior trustee serving on the board. How are you today?
I'm great.
So, Colleen, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? Where'd you grow up?
Born in Chicago on the northwest side. I grew up in Norwood Park, and I lived there pretty much all my life until I went to college and got married.
Okay. So you're not too far. So where'd you go to school?
So for high school, I went to Resurrection, which is an all-girls school on the west side, actually the alma mater of our former mayor, Mayor Jarosa. And then for undergrad, I went to DePaul University. I commuted there most of the first quarter because I didn't have housing yet. And then I lived on campus in Lincoln Park there. And then for grad school, I went to American University in Washington, D.C.
Okay. And what did you study there?
So in undergrad, I was a poli sci major with a communication and Italian minor. And then for my master's, it was in international affairs with a concentration in U.S. foreign policy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Italian was...
Italian helped out because we had to take a proficiency exam to get our degree for our master's. So it was ready to go. And I studied it in high school, and I fell in love with the language. So,
oh, very nice.
I took it for about 7 years.
Okay, all right. And with your last name, that helped,
yes,
too.
Yeah, does help out. But he didn't speak Italian, so I've taught him. Yeah, he's started to learn. It's really been fun.
That's good. Have you gone to Italy?
We did. We went. I went in high school with my Italian class, and then my husband and I went 2 years ago. So that was really fun.
Very, very nice.
It's a great way to use my Italian and impress my husband.
Yeah, I know it can be hard when you haven't used it in a while to, you know, pick it up again. But
there's apps and stuff, so I kind of practice every day. It's a fun little hobby.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, how did you come to Mount Prospect? How did you come to live here?
So, like I said, I grew up on the northwest side, and my husband was from the western suburbs. When we got married, I was still looking for a job, and he was and still is an IT consultant, and he had a client in Lake County that he was going to every day. So Mount Prospect was kind of close. And actually, initially, we got an apartment in Arlington Heights. Because unlike now, there wasn't a lot of great apartment opportunities in our downtown. So we kind of stayed across from Clearwater Park. So we were very close to Mount Prospect.
Oh, yeah.
So when we started looking, we looked in Mount Prospect because we had joined a church in Mount Prospect. We were looking to send our kids to school in Mount Prospect. My husband actually had family that grew up here. And it was also halfway between our parents. So it worked out great.
Okay, good. Going back a little bit, when you got out of college, what did you start doing for work?
So actually in high school, I got an internship with the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really important to my career development. So after graduation, I was student government president at DePaul. So I was really focused on that senior year and not as much maybe looking for jobs. So when I graduated, I didn't have a job. So I went back to interning with the city.
Uh-huh. What did you do for the city?
So I worked for the Department of Environment in the administrative section. So did a lot of accounting, fleet management, purchasing, things like that.
Okay.
So that was a lot of fun. And I took some classes, some economics classes while I was working there and decided to go to grad school. So I applied for grad school and then went out to D.C., went to D.C., came back, was looking for jobs again, and ended up at the state. I worked for the Illinois Housing Development Authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you do for them?
So I worked in their legal department.
Uh-huh.
So I worked on contracts and purchasing and things like that. Actually, I worked a lot with their board. Putting together their board packet, board agendas. So that was a good intro to the world of of boards.
Yeah, you've got some deep roots into government operations.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what got you involved locally in politics? How did you find that?
Actually in high school, I believe it was my 1996, I'm dating myself, there was conventions that summer. And I remember sitting in my parents' kitchen kind of watching both conventions and just kind of being mesmerized by that. And that's where I kind of got the bug for government. So then I started working student council at school. That's why I decided to apply for that internship at the city of Chicago. And again, like I said, I was involved in student government all through college. And I just was always interested, even though I kept running for things, I really liked the inner workings, being behind the scenes and working in government. And so that's how I became interested. I find that internship opportunity, and I've talked about it on the board, having those experiences and the ability to get your feet wet when you're younger and experience things, it would really, really put me on the path for wanting to be in public service.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Most young people don't think about politics at all or their government. But you were doing that, and that led you to here. Yeah. So what made you, start to campaign to be a trustee here?
So after I had my first son, I decided to take a little career break and stay home for a while. And so I did that for a few years. And you're very busy those first couple of years, and then you kind of get in your routine and they're in bed by 7. I'm like, I can do something. I'd like to give back to the community. So there had been an election and a state election, and I started looking into our local government. And I said, I told my husband, maybe I'll run for office. And he thought it was a great idea. So I said, well, I'm going to start coming to meetings. So I went to meetings and kind of watched how things went, and I would take my notes. Back then, there wasn't a lot of people coming to meetings. There's much more engagement now. But that's how I got interested, and I decided just to run. I actually didn't decide till like mid-November, which is kind of halfway through the signature collection time, but decided to run and didn't look back.
Okay, yeah. How did you go about getting signatures?
We did a lot. That first campaign, a lot of door-to-door, a lot of going to the train, outside stores, just trying to be where the people were.
And most people were supportive?
Most people were. I think, that's something when people are interested in running, especially as a new candidate, people want to give you the opportunity to run, and they like to have new perspectives and new voices on the board. So they're much more open to signing.
Okay. So who are some of your political influences or mentors in your political life?
Mm-hmm. So influences, I've been, as I said, I started following politics, sophomore year of high school. So I was very into Chicago politics and ward politics and but here in Mount Prospect, definitely Mayor Jurasek was an influence for me and her leadership style. Skip Farley, it was great to be around him on the Sister Cities Commission, really got to see his leadership style and his perspective. Mike Sedell certainly is the gold standard for trustees, so I've always looked up to him and the way he carries himself and engages with residents and the way he explains his views on the board. He did an excellent job. And also just being on the Northwest Municipal Conference Legislative Committee, I didn't develop deep relationships with a lot of people, but being able to watch how other people conduct themselves and how they share their perspectives, it was definitely a big influence on me.
Can you explain a little bit more about the Northwest
Sure.
Legislative Committee?
So the Northwest Municipal Conference is a council of government body that's made up of many Northwest suburbs. They all have, the members all have people on this committee. They can send people to the various committees. So the Legislative Committee helps develop the legislative agenda for the conference. So the conference will lobby for these municipalities at the state and federal level. So it's a really great way to meet people from other governments and also provide the voice of Mount Prospect on major issues of the day.
Okay. So as a brand new trustee, a young trustee, what were some of the things that you were hoping to accomplish and achieve?
So I was hoping to work on the communication between the village and the citizens, which I think has come very far. Just making sure that citizens were aware of what the village was doing and the different programs that we have in place. I also wanted to work on development through the downtown specifically, but now through the whole village. And then also improve the connectedness and sidewalks and bike routes and things like that throughout town for people.
Okay. And how do you think, well, you were saying about communications, how has that evolved, in your opinion?
We just have so many opportunities. With, you know, we had social media back then, but it's gotten utilized a lot more. We're using our Instagram more. Our YouTube channel is flourishing. This podcast is a great way to reach people. Email blasts. I think one thing that, you know, the Village Newsletter is still the tried and true way to reach people, we found. But the branding and marketing plan that we've worked on really hard the last few years has really been a step forward. And now that we're in the phase, the marketing phase, it's going to be a great time to show off Mount Prospect, not only to our neighbors, but to everyone around us.
Okay. Yeah, there's kind of a communication gap of people who are interested in what we do and some people who could just care less. And do you have any thoughts about how we can reach more of those people?
I think what we're doing and get, I think word of mouth is also important. We have this amazing Civics Academy where we talk about all the village departments and the village board and our council manager form of government. And I think as much as we push out as a village formally, those conversations between neighbors and friends are going to be really important going forward. And I think we're laying groundwork today that we'll see reap the benefits of going forward.
Yes. That's leads me into my next question. How have you seen changes in the village since you first came to the village and became a trustee? What sort of things, positive or negative, have you seen?
I think it's been a lot of positive. My thing has always been trying to see Mount Prospect reach its full potential, and I think you're seeing us grow in all kinds of ways. Our population is growing. Development on the downtown and the south side are really booming, but also engagement overall, I think, has increased since I first ran. There's more people at board meetings. Voting is up. I think it's a really positive sign for the future of our town that people are really starting to get more engaged.
I agree. I've seen that too. I've been videotaping board meetings for 26 years now, and yeah, for a long time nobody was showing up for the board meetings, and now we get a nice little crowd.
Agreed. Yeah. It's nice to see.
It is. So how do you think Mount Prospect, you know, manages to keep its small town feel? I a lot of people talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a couple of things. First, I think it's the people themselves, just the kindness and the friendliness and the way that they go out to help a neighbor or help those in need. I think that's the small town feel that we all love and embrace. But I, you know, I talk about this reaching our full potential. I think that we can still grow and hold that kind of spirit within us. I also think the nonpartisan nature of our board is really, really important because we're all just working for the betterment of the town. And when we're running for office, that's the focus, right? It's not party-based. It's not focusing on our differences, but what keeps us together and what the whole town needs.
Yeah, I think also electing our trustees at large helps with that, too, instead of having a ward where people are, you know, representing a certain geographic area and, that, you know, their interests.
Agreed. That's huge. We're all representing the entire town and we're all working to make all of the town better.
Yeah. Okay. So How do you see? I mean, we've come so far, and I know a lot of our focus has been on the downtown. But how do you see Mount Prospect continuing to move forward and to grow?
Well, there's lots of opportunities on the south side with the Southside TIF. We have the Cloud HQ data center going in, but there's many more opportunities. We're working on pedestrian improvements down there to help connect to people of the south side to the north side. And I see huge opportunities at Randhurst. They're on, you know, continuing to innovate and redevelop that area. I just think there's lots of opportunities throughout town, and only positive things ahead.
Only positive.
Only positive.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you feel one of your greatest political contributions have been to during the years you've been a trustee?
So I think I kind of represent a different type of trustee, a different type of leader. Sometimes people think of trustees as very verbose and outspoken and maybe theatrical, but I am kind of more of a soft-spoken person. My leadership style is more of listening and then forming an opinion versus just sharing my opinion. So I'm trying to represent that type of leader. I want to improve communications and outreach and education of just government in general, making people aware of all the good things that the village does. And so I hope that that's what I've been able to do.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's you know, a good things. What do you think about how would you talk to people about becoming more involved in their local government? I mean, you know, there's being on the board, but there's also other things that people can do that aren't quite as involved.
Yep. I'm a huge proponent of getting involved, obviously. I don't think you have to have a specific background. You just have to have an interest in wanting to help your community. So apart from running for trustee, you can certainly start attending board meetings to kind of understand what's going on. Coffee with the council is a great opportunity. If you're afraid to go to a more formal meeting, to come and ask questions to us one-on-one. It's very low-key, laid back format.
What can you describe what Coffee with the Council is?
Coffee with the Council is a once a month meeting. It's the second Saturday of every month from 9 to 11. It takes place in the Farley Community Room here at Village Hall. And basically there's coffee and donuts, and members of the village board and the mayor are there to answer your questions, anything and everything. No question is too small or too personal to your property or whatever, any question. It's a fun way to meet your village board and to meet your neighbors as well. So you don't have to stay the whole time. If you have your question answered, you can leave. We know that people are busy, but that's a great way to meet us. Also, the mayor had spearheaded, with the board's support, of course, these quarterly cows on the road. A cow is a committee of the whole meeting where we don't take formal action, but we hear information from staff about a specific issue so that it can inform our decision later. And those are out in the community. So they're at local schools and park houses. So keep an eye out for that, because those are also great opportunities that are near you where you don't have to come to Village Hall to speak to the board. Apart from that, as I talked about before, the Civics Academy is also an excellent way to get a quick, I wouldn't say quick, it's a few week long class, but a very thorough overview of what village government does. You get to hear from all the village departments, from board members, from the mayor, and Howard does a really great job of running it. We're so lucky to have this opportunity for residents. So please look into that as a way to learn more. Also, there's boards and commissions, which some have more of a workload than others. So depending on your availability, you can join, you know, police and fire commissioners have a very intense schedule where they're interviewing applicants and they put in a lot of hours to other commissions that don't meet as often. That application's on the village website. So the mayor's always looking for applicants to review.
And you can apply at any time, right?
Correct. And then once there's an opening, the mayor will look at the applications on file and make a recommendation to the board. But also trustee, it's still an opportunity for people. I don't think that you should be afraid to run and put yourself out there. I ran my first time against seven people or six other people. There were seven of us, and I had only lived in town for less than 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know a lot of people, but it is possible to run and get on. And, you know, it just take the leap of faith. If you don't run, then who will? You know,
true,
get involved.
True. Can you describe some of the steps it takes to run for trustee?
So you have to collect signatures during the state kind of lays out a calendar and rules for running. But you have, and our village clerk does a great job of putting out the packet and all the information early on in the cycle. So she'll put that information on the website. You collect a certain number of signatures. I believe it's 10% of the last mayor's election.
Right.
Then that process is usually September to December. So you have that amount of time to get your signatures. Then you send those in.
It's usually in the 300s,
correct.
I think. Yeah.
Correct. Higher 300s. You would like to get extra ones just in case Bart Simpson signed your he or she. You want to make sure you have enough. And then you submit them to the clerk. The clerk, there's a period where it can be reviewed or challenged. And then you find out usually at end of the year if you've officially made the ballot. And then January to beginning of April is your campaign season. So that's when you can go out and spread your message. There's debates. You fill out a lot of questionnaires about what your different perspectives are on different issues. The newspapers will interview you, and then they make endorsements. It goes by really fast. It's a busy time, but thankfully it's only like 3 months long. So it's definitely doable for people time-wise. It's not that big of a commitment. And once you get in the zone and you have your platform set up, it can really, really move along pretty well.
And as, you know, putting everything out there, how much does it pay to be a trustee?
$2,750.
A year.
A year. A year.
So you're not doing it for the money.
No.
You're doing it because you want to serve.
Yes, it's definitely, you have to go in with the mindset of community service.
Yeah.
And you can put in as many as like 20 hours a week, depending on how much reading, how many meetings we have going on. So it's definitely time intensive, but it's worth it because you know you're serving your community and you're making your town better.
Okay. So as a woman, we had, you know, people, female mayors, female trustees. How do you think in general the village is doing in regards to diversity, equity, and inclusion?
I think that the village is doing well. We're well on our way. If you listen to the consultants' presentations, they explain that we were pretty far ahead of other towns when they were evaluating our different criteria when they were looking at us. I think we can always do better. That's why I'm so much of a proponent of the Civics Academy and promoting boards and commissions, because I think a lot of people are busy and they don't have time, you know, to really dig in and understand the opportunities here. So we really have to make it accessible to them and make them aware of what they can do, because there's all different levels of involvement, as we talked about. So, you know, I'm hopeful going forward we're doing a good job of starting to really promote the opportunities that will start to reap those benefits and see more and more people start to apply for boards and commissions.
Yeah, the boards and commissions is kind of a farm team for the village board.
Exactly.
Sometimes. A lot of people who served on a commission later get either appointed or run and get successfully elected to the board.
Right. And I also agree with the idea of you don't want to turn current people away because, you know, they're wanting to serve. So if people want to serve and you want to give them that opportunity, but we have to look to cast a wider net and bring people on.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to say about your service with the village?
I just really enjoy serving. As I talked about, I just love government, and I think that I just love the good that it can do for people. So I just feel so privileged to be elected as a trustee for 3 terms. I will continue to serve and be dedicated to this town because I think it's an amazing place to live.
Well, and we thank you for your service. We've always felt very supported by you, staff-wise, communications team-wise. And I also want to thank all of you for joining us. You've been listening to Mount Podcast. Mount Podcast can be found on your favorite podcast download sites and on the Village website, mountprospect.org. Join us next time as we bring you another conversation with someone worth talking to you in Mount Prospect. See you then.